Chicago, the musical, will paint the town and all that jazz at the Palace in Albany, New York this Friday and Saturday for 3 performances. With music by John Kander, lyrics by Fred Ebb, and a book by Ebb and Bob Fosse, Chicago is a powerhouse American musical created in a faux vaudeville style that tells the Prohibition-era celebrity criminal story of Roxy Hart and Velma Kelly, two might-be murderesses trying to beat their charges with guts, gusto, and iconic Fosse choreography. Jacob Keith Watson plays Amos Hart, Roxy's quietly suffering spouse, who, by all accounts, is making his Mr. Cellophane impossible to overlook. Jacob Keith Watson joins us now. Welcome to the Roundtable.
Hi, Sarah. How are you?
I'm very well, thank you. Thanks for taking the time out of your busy road schedule to speak with us about Chicago today.
Of course, my pleasure.
When did you begin singing, dancing, and acting? How did you know you wanted to pursue it as a career?
Oh, my goodness. Okay, so I grew up a football player, playing football all through junior high and high school. And then it was somewhere around probably junior year of high school, I saw a touring production of Les Mis. And that's when I said, that's what I want to do. I had been in drama club for a couple of years at that point, and then I saw that, and I was like, that's what I have to do with my life. And then I went to college for it, and now here we are.
What part in Les Mis is the dream part, the one that you sang in your car growing up?
Valjean.
Good. Of course.
Of course.
Of course. And then how did you pursue your arts education?
I actually, I really only applied to one school, getting ready for college, and it was a small school down in Arkansas, close to home. It was the only school in Arkansas at the time that had a musical theater degree, and so I thought, this is a good way for me to get out of town and go somewhere I can actually pursue what I want to pursue, and it's a small school called Ouachita Baptist University in South Arkansas. And I just applied, and I auditioned, and then I got in. I really didn't go through a huge process like a lot of people do, weeding out schools and all of that kind of stuff. I got lucky. I applied to one place and got in.
In 2012, you won the Kurt Weill Foundation for Music's Lada Lenya competition. What does that competition involve, and what did winning it mean for you and mean for your career so far?
Oh, goodness. That competition has been incredibly important. It's based around Lada Lenya, Kurt Weill's wife, who was not only an opera star, but also a Broadway star, as well as a straight theater star. She could do it all. She could do a Shakespeare, she could do a musical, an opera, anything. And so it was based around that idea that musical theater is more than just musical theater as we see it on Broadway. It's all of these things encompassed into one. And so what they're looking for is someone who can do opera, who can do contemporary musical theater, who can do classical musical theater, and who can also do Weill-specific pieces. And so as a requirement, you're required to sing an aria from an opera, a Golden Age theater piece, a contemporary theater piece, and a Kurt Weill aria or theater piece. And so I did all that, had a blast doing that competition, and it's meant the world to me. Through that competition, I've gotten sent to Germany to do the Kurt Weill Festival for 2 weeks over in Germany, which is where I met some of my first people from New York City. And I met them, and they hooked me up with my current agent, and it got the ball rolling for my entire career, really. It put me out there in front of people that I wouldn't have gotten in front of otherwise, being from Arkansas.
Right. And how did you get to join that competition, or compete, rather, in that competition?
I had read about it, and I'd seen it for a couple of years online, and like, I want to do that eventually. And so my senior year of college, I said, okay, well, send in a tape. Maybe you'll make the semifinals, get your name in the pot for the future, and see how it goes. And then I made the semifinals, and then I made the finals, and then I was named one of the winners in that year, and it just kind of all fell into place. But really all I did was send a video submission of my 4 pieces through YouTube to the judges.
And not to make you keep talking about something that happened 3 entire years ago, but what...
No, I love talking about it.
Okay. What were your pieces? What was your aria, et cetera, et cetera?
I sang Deines mein ganzes Herz was my opera aria, which is by Franz Lehár. I can't remember the opera. And then I sang Lonely House from Street Scene, Kurt Weill. And then I did What Is It About Her from The Wild Party. And then I ended with Sit Down, You're Rockin' the Boat from Guys and Dolls.
That does make for a very varied performance for that competition.
Exactly.
That's really cool.
Yeah.
You were on Broadway last year in the Roundabout Theater Company production of Violet, which starred mm-hmm. Sutton Foster. I did see that show and enjoyed it very much.
Oh, great.
How did you get in that room? How did you get to audition for Violet? And what was that first Broadway experience like?
That's another one of those crazy stories. I actually was non-equity. I had an agent, and I'd been going in for a lot of big projects and just quite wasn't quite landing them. So I thought, okay, well, Paper Mill Playhouse is having an open call for non-equity people for their South Pacific production mm-hmm. At one of the audition studios. And so I went to that with my friend, and he's like, hey, dude, Violet is casting across the street. You should go put your name down on the non-ec list. And I had read the breakdowns, and I thought, there's nothing for me in this production, but I'll go put my name down and see what happens. And so I put my name down amongst probably 60 guys, 60 non-equity guys, put our headshots out, and they typed, which is where they look through your headshots and pick who they want to take in. And so they took about 6 guys out of those 60, and I was luckily one of them, and I went in and sang something that was not right at all for that show. But somehow the music director and the casting team saw something that worked with the show. And so it, you know, that started rolling itself and ended up in a callback amongst me and a bunch of 45-year-olds, very confused, thinking, what are these people thinking? And then I got another callback for it. And then actually the same day that my restaurant that I was working at, the same exact day they told us we were closing was the same day that I got my call from my agent telling me I'd booked the show, which I think is pretty neat.
Yeah, that's like one of those things that you know you couldn't write it better.
Exactly. Yeah, and the experience of it all, the whole show. So I was an offstage cover, technically a swing, but really since there's a huge amount of featured parts, I covered a lot of different stuff, but I just was offstage. Ended up performing a ton, thankfully, but I was off stage. And so the whole rehearsal process and going through all of that, being able to sit back for my first time and watch these people work and watch how it happens and soak up all of that was better than an MFA, a grad degree. You know, getting to soak all of that up and get to watch how professional Broadway theater is created, from this piece that already existed to them transforming it into what they were going to make it into. It went from a double act into a one act, 95-minute piece. And getting to watch that happen in front of me was with Janine Tesori and Brian Crawley and Lee Silverman and Sutton Foster and all of these people was, and Joshua Henry, it was just insane. Such an incredible experience.
I was going to say the three principals, Sutton Foster, Joshua Henry, and Colin Donnell, mm-hmm. they're like some of the workingest folks on Broadway.
Exactly. And that's who you want to be like, you know. You want to be one of those people that works all the time, and to get to learn from those people who do was just incredible. And Alex Gimignani, who is a personal hero of mine.
Yeah, he's fantastic.
Yeah, and I got to talk to him about a day that I met him at NOLA Studios about 3 years ago, and I was a total fanboy. We got a good laugh about that. And he remembered me, which was embarrassing, but it is.
Well, you made an impression.
Exactly right. Good thought.
So the matter at hand, you are in the Tour of Chicago. How did you
yep.
get to be in the Tour of Chicago?
Well, okay, so Duncan Stewart and Benton Whitley, who are the casting directors for the show, I had met Duncan a couple of years ago over the summer, at another competition, the Nats National Music Theater Competition, and he happened to be there. He wasn't a judge. He just was one of the people giving a master class or something. And so we hit it off, and we got to talk, and he's like, hey, when you move to New York, let me know. I think we've got something that could work for you. And so I emailed him a few weeks before I was going to move back in 2012, back in May. 2013 is when I moved. I can't remember anymore.
That's okay. A lot's happened since
so,
then.
Exactly. And so he sent me this stuff. He's like, hey, I think you'd be a great Amos. Come on in for us. I went in. It's my first real audition in New York City was this show. And it didn't work out at the time, and then I came back in for the tour later. It didn't work out again, and then at the end of Violet, I came in for the Broadway production, and I auditioned and sang and did everything for them, and ended up getting a call back, and then it was kind of over, and I went home, and I actually got married.
Mm-hmm.
I went home for a month after Violet closed, and while being home in Memphis, I got the call that I booked the tour. And so 4 days after getting married, I started rehearsals for the tour and went on to New Orleans, and we opened.
How did your wife take it?
She loves it. I mean, she's a performer herself, and so she saw it as an opportunity to kind of hang around Memphis and be with her family a little bit longer before she had to move up to New York City. And so she was able to take advantage of that. She got to come visit me quite a bit. But now that things are winding down, she's just moved back up to New York, and you know, it is what it is. Tour is hard on that, but we've made it work, and it's worked really well, and it's been such a great experience and opportunity that we couldn't pass it up.
Chicago is it the longest running now, or still the second longest running show on Broadway?
It's the second longest running show next to Phantom, but right. It's the longest running American musical.
Okay. So that means there have been a number of Amoses, the part that you play. How did you create yours? How did you build your portrayal of Amos Hart?
Well, it's interesting because I didn't grow up with the soundtrack or the cast albums that a lot of people grew up with. I never seen the movie. I went and saw the Broadway production one time just to kind of get the vibe of the show, to see how it worked, the energy of it all, which was the week of my audition back during Violet. The first time I saw it was actually closing day of Violet. And so I didn't have a whole lot of outside influences on it. I really was able to, for one of the first times in my life, dig into the text and find what he meant to me and what he showed to me. And so it was a lot of fun really getting to dig into this historic material, but in a very fresh way. And I'm sure it is what it is. It's Chicago. There's not a whole lot of ways to change everything there is in it. But I feel like I could bring something really fresh to it. Being a little bit younger than the typical Amos, too, I feel like I was able to bring something a little fresher and newer to it.
What do you think it is about Chicago that has made it the second longest-running show on Broadway?
I think in a way it's a pretty timeless piece because it's ultimately dealing with something that's never going to go away, which is the pursuit of fame.
Mm-hmm.
There will always be people who are obsessed with fame and want to get it the easy way and want that money so fast. We, as a cast, we joke that Roxy's kind of like Kim Kardashian for us,
mm-hmm.
in that she'll do anything it takes to be famous and to keep her name out there. And so I think that's one of the things that really keeps people coming back. That and the score is unbelievable, and the dancing, the Fosse choreography is unbelievable. But I think that story is a really timeless story of people always seeking that fame and trying to be famous, and I think a lot of people understand that in a very real way.
So you mentioned that your turn in the tour is winding down. Do you know what you're doing next?
No, not as of now. As far as I know, I'm going home and being with my wife for a little bit. And then after that, I'll probably hit the audition game again and see what comes up.
Well, we'll keep an eye on you. Thank you so much for taking the time to speak with me today.
Of course. Thank you so much, Sarah.
Jacob Keith Watson plays Amos Hart in Chicago, the musical. The national tour of the show will be at the Palace in Albany this Friday and Saturday. For more information, visit palacealbany.com. You're listening to The Roundtable on WAMC.
5, 6, 7, 8!